gonna make your name today. You understand?
Yes, sir.
One clap, two clap. How you feel?
Good.
How you feel?
Good.
Yeah. Hey, what's going on, guys? Welcome to the number one youth sports show in the country, man. I know you guys hear us on NBC 11 Alive, Team 1-1. Of course, that's on Friday nights. We do the high school sports show, and we have some of the best competition that's out there. Of course, now we have the youth sports show, man. And look, we've been gone for a little while, man. We haven't did this in a while. But, you know, we're so glad to be back. And now you're talking about some of the top teams, not only in the state of Georgia, not only in the country, but everybody knows about these teams if you're following youth sports across the country. Because, you know, like I said, man, you know, we're able, fortunately, to cover ground. And look, in the past couple years, let's really break this thing down, how Born to Compete has been so fortunate. And again, say we're so fortunate to just, you know, cover the kids and put them out there like that. Over the last couple years, what we've seen is true. Davis Mills, number one quarterback in the country, Born to Compete player of the year. Trevor Lawrence, number one player in the country, Born to Compete player of the year. I'm not done. Nolan Smith. He's down at IMG now, was here in Georgia. Number one player in the country, Born to Compete player of the year when he was in eighth grade. The list goes on and on and on. We had three kids go in the top eight of the draft. Colin Sexton, Wendell Carter, Marvin Bagley. These are all guys that were discovered at a very young age doing what we do. And right now, I think we have a team that is just as good, and they have a player, Malachi Singleton, that is just as good. He is the real deal. Guys, I'm not lying to you. You're talking about a kid that's about 6 foot and a half. We're talking about legit height now. People talking about they're 6 foot, and they ain't really 6 feet. 6 foot and a half, probably every bit of 195, 200. He don't shy away from the table now. He eats. And he is the leader as of right now, the quarterback of one of the top teams, I feel, not only in the state and arguably probably should be the number one team in the state, one of the top eighth grade teams in the country. And I got the guy on right now, Coach Hobbs from North Cobb. What's going on, Coach?
Hey there. How are you this evening?
Coach, I'm doing pretty good, man. You know, first off, thanks good. For hanging out with me. You know,
yes, sir.
I get to talk some football
thanks
with
you.
Thanks
for having me.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
Now, we know about your team last year. They won the championship. I want to say they won the championship the past 2 years in GMSAA, sixth grade and seventh grade. And now you guys are going into the eighth grade year. Kind of what are your expectations for your team?
So, yeah, you're right. They won it as sixth graders. They won it again last year as seventh graders. That was a different coaching staff, though. So, mm-hmm. This is my first opportunity to coach this group with my staff. Mm-hmm. Our expectations at the eighth grade level are the same this season as they are every season. That's get better every week and get these kids better and prepared for high school football. You know, they're only a year away from playing big boy football, part of our job and responsibility is to get them ready for that.
Now, let me ask you a question. You're in a feeder program. So how do you balance that? Because at the end of the day, you want to have success. We all want to have success. You know, nobody wants to go out there and get the brains beat in. But at the same time, you have to prepare them, you know, for the next level. How do you balance that?
Right. So it's there is some balance that goes on. I can give you an example of a kid that we had that I coached. Heck, I don't know. It's probably been 10 years ago now. A young man by the name of Chandler Wooten. He's rising fast on the Auburn depth chart at linebacker. Mm-hmm. you know, he came to me probably my best athlete.
Okay.
But I needed right tackle. Chandler was working at slot receiver and he was doing some work at running back and stuff. And I finally went to him and I said, Chandler, listen, I need a right tackle.
Yeah.
I need some help on the offensive line. And he said, Coach, I want to play you know, I want to play one of these skill spots. And I said, Chandler, look, here's the deal. You're not going to play on offense in high school. And you're not going to play offense at the college level. You know, Chandler, you're going to be a linebacker.
Yeah.
At the next level. And so who cares where you play on offense?
Yeah.
And, you know, we got him to buy in, and we gave him number 54. And he played right tackle for us and middle linebacker. But I can also tell you that when teams kicked off to us, he was our deep man.
Yeah.
He was that kind of athlete. So, you know, it's not so much the balance as it is getting the kids to buy in and helping them understand that as you progress, as you get older, the game changes significantly. You know, the coaching gets better, and you end up in a situation where these guys, this will be my 34th season.
Wow.
I might be at this point the most tenured middle school coach in GMSA at this point. I don't know, maybe there's somebody that's been there longer, but and my staff's been together for a long time. And, you know, we don't have fathers on my staff. It's just guys that played football, love football, and want to see kids succeed. And through experience and our years of coaching, we've learned to identify, you know, body types and where a kid, you know, really should focus his efforts and his time and all that stuff. And it's worked out for a vast majority of the kids that I've had the opportunity to interact with and coach.
Oh, that's good stuff, Coach. Now, you got Pebblebrook coming up.
Yes, sir. You know, big one.
They're good. They're good. And even though we do know they lost last year's B2C Defensive Lineman of the Year with Big Ian, he's over at Whitfield. They've got some talent over there. Tell me kind of what's your team's mindset going into that game.
Well, our mindset, again, is we want to get better.
Yeah.
We played a pretty good football team in Rome last week. This is only week two. It is a region game for us, but it's only week two.
Yeah.
They're not giving the winner a trophy this week. I mean, they're not. You know, we just want our kids to get better.
Yeah,
and play better than they did a week ago. We made a lot of mistakes. We played a good Rome team. We played pretty well, but there's a lot of room for improvement, and that's our goal. Is right now coming into this week is play better than we did last week against Rome. That's our goal.
Now you got a player on your team, pretty special player. Everybody's talking about him right now. He's talking UF football. Malachi Singleton, big kid.
Yes, sir.
Athletic. Can let the ball go, you know. Accurate when he needs to get accurate. And that'll improve over time. We all know that. We've been around for a while.
Sure. Yep.
What do you think of him as a player?
So, I know Malachi's family very well. Christian played for me when he was in eighth grade back in 2014. He helped lead that team to a GMSA championship game. Great family. And great kid. You know, it's great, I think, for Malachi to get the recognition that he's getting and all
Absolutely.
That stuff. But I really want people to understand what type of kid Malachi is. It's not just Malachi the quarterback. I mean, he is a fantastic individual young man from a fantastic family and very well-grounded. And I think Malachi's probably best attribute, in my opinion. He's a fantastic athlete.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not even talk about that. He's a great athlete. Everybody sees it. I think the most valuable thing to us is the fact that Malachi comes out there every day and opens up his ears and his eyes, and he's looking to learn and get better. And he does it every day, and he puts in the work. I mean, you're talking about a kid that, you know, 7-on-7, spring football this past spring. Malachi practiced twice. because he would go and work with the varsity in the morning. He'd put in that extra time.
Oh, wow.
7-on-7, he would go work with the varsity coaching staff and learn from them and put in that extra time and then come to us. So you're talking about a young man that is truly, and I know it's kind of cliche, but he is truly a kid that wants to be the best and wants to get better. And he carries himself very, very well. I know he's got the respect of our team.
So we look forward to it, Coach. Thanks so much for coming on.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. That was Coach Hobbs right there. Good guy, man. He has North Cobb. And like he said, a couple of years ago, he had Christian Singleton, who's now a running back at North Cobb. Hey, man, and let me tell you something. That kid can tote the mail. If you've ever seen him play on Friday nights, man, the kid is an outstanding player. He gets the job done from the backfield. And the crazy thing was he actually played DB for Coach Tom. So he didn't think I remember that. I didn't want to bring it up. And they had the upset of a lifetime over North Paulding. You had Ross Malcolm and Jordan Cox. And that team was loaded. They were able to go ahead and beat them and overcome it and get to the championship game. I think where they played McEachern in the championship. And that was a heck of a battle there. But now I got to bring on my guy. I ain't talked to him in a while, man. We got Coach Adams coming on from Grayson, and they got a big game this week. Big game ready, as we say, and I hope he is ready, which I know he is. Here's the thing. Let me set it up for everybody that doesn't really know how much respect right now needs to be put on Coach Adams' name right now. He loses a couple of his players, and he wasn't around, I want to say, at that time. He loses a couple of his players to another team. Fantastic players, right? Regroups, gets the team back together. They play Shiloh, first game of the season. I think they only ran like 5 plays. I'm not sure. He's probably going to tell me they ran more. I think they only ran 5 plays. And they were able to do their thing and come away with a victory against a very, very good Shiloh team. Now they got next, and both of them are ranked in the top 10. I want to say rankings just came out. Grayson's number 10 and Mill Creek is number 8. Either way, I got my guy on the phone. Coach Adams, what's going on, man?
Alex, good evening, my brother. How you doing today? How's everything going?
I'm feeling great, man. I got you on the phone. I told you.
Oh, well, man. You know what I mean? Should be great, but just little old me, man. Just little old me.
Coach, how
good to hear your voice.
Thank you. How in the world did you get this thing turned around? Because all I was hearing all offseason is how players are leaving Grayson. Grayson won't be as good. I mean, it even showed up in our rankings where we didn't even have Grayson. I don't want to say you guys weren't listed in the top 21. And obviously now you guys are number 10, realizing what you guys are doing as a coaching staff and all those players are bought into what you're doing. How in the world did you get that ship back right?
Well, Alex, you know, you kind of know my background, where I come from. You know, mm-hmm. I started all back in DeKalb County, back in Tucker. Yeah, I've been doing a thing, 10 years with Roger Grimmins, Trey Hirsch, Rod Jones, Coach Fleming, the whole gang. However, I was hoping that we continue to fly, under the radar, for a couple of weeks louder. But I knew the trick would be out the bag, sooner or later. But however,
absolutely,
we did lose some excellent athletes,
Yeah.
Got a lot of respect for those athletes and the parents. Still today, a lot of them are good friends of mine. We still hang out together. But, hey, some of the parents make decisions, as we all agree, right? However, we still have a small group. Not actually, I wouldn't even say small group. We have a nice group of elite athletes as well that remained on the team. We had a couple additions that came through, one of them from a different state. He's going to be shaking up some things in Gwinnett County in the state of Georgia.
Okay.
Very raw football player, but he's a man-child. Y'all be hearing about him very soon. But we had our foundation. We had our core. We lost a couple elite players. But we just continued on, and pushed forward. And one thing about our kids, man, it's a different spirit. It's a different air on that football field, on our practice field.
Mm-hmm.
They're a little hungrier. It's totally different. It's kind of hard for me to explain. But this year is very different from where I came. I started with Grayson about when these guys were 8 years old. But they got a different swagger. And it's pretty much scary because, during practices and when we're working hard, when we're challenging each other, they'll come to us like, Coach, we need to hit a little more. We need to run a little more. But I think with all the adjustments, with people moving around teams, it just sparked those guys up. And I'm not going to take the credit, all the credit. We have a great, coaching staff. I brought my brother Morgan Adams. You probably know Mo from Tucker.
Mm-hmm.
He's running our offense. Again, getting back to your comment, we only ran a handful of plays for Jamboree and a couple other games. But, It's like all great coaches, they do the same thing. I'll tell you what, that Mill Creek program, I have a lot of respect for those guys, stand-up guys. Coach Mullins and staff, we go back, you know, since I joined the eighth grade. Those guys are excellent program. I'm sure the boys will be ready, and I'm sure the staff will be ready. So, you know, pretty much that's it for me.
It blew my mind. And I sat there and I watched the film two times, you know, and I was looking like, they really are only running a limited amount of plays. And I felt like I was watching Remember the Titans. You know, all you needed was an Afro on the sideline. You know what I'm saying? That's all you needed.
It's like Saban. It's like Saban, Alex. I mean, you do what you do. You know what I mean? Until they stop you. You know, but if they can't stop what you have, you know, you keep with the minimum until you have to, you know, expose the rest of the plays. So, you know, what we do right now, you know, I'm a little bit oppressed, but I'm blocking. You know, it's starting to work. We got to get a lot better. It's early. We're going on game three, Alex. But with our offensive line, we're averaging about 230, 240 across the board, you know what I mean, for eighth graders.
Y'all big. Yeah.
So we are deep. We're deep up front. And you know football, Alex, and it all starts up in the trenches. You know, we got skilled players for days, and we got talented, elite skilled players, but up front. And that's what's going to, you know, control the game, offense and defensive line. And that's what, you know, we lost one offensive lineman, but we gained two. So.
Now let me ask this. You know, you're going to that Shiloh game, and there are questions out there about how the team is going to, you know, play. Everybody wanted to know, and then you have the result that you have. What did it? You know, from a coach's standpoint, you're like, hey guys, what I've been telling you, all you had to do is buy in, and this is where we can end up at. Or was it kind of like a relief, like, oh man, kind of got that off our, you know, back a little bit, and now we're headed in the right direction. What's your opinion?
Yeah, my opinion, it was a little bit of both, because, you know, we had our elite players. It was all, you know, also questioned, hey, we lost a couple of guys, how are we going to look? We didn't have a relationship with the newer guys. We really didn't gel early, you know, early on during the practices and conditioning. However, I believe we all had questionings, because you never really know what you have until you're on the sideline and you're faced with another opponent.
Yeah.
You know, but up until, you know, the first jamboree and then Shiloh, as soon as they stepped on the field, you know, it was a special feeling out there. You know, those guys were motivated. Mm-hmm. I mean, we compete every day in practice. So it just transferred over to the field. And, you know, once we began to move that football, and it's all about, you know, I mean, possession and grinding it out, you know, we controlled the whole quarter. We almost used the first quarter. At that point, I was like, wow, we have something special. When guys are motivating each other, when guys are making mistakes, you know, they tap on their chest, you know, accountability, you know what I'm saying? They're dealing with adversity. That's when I knew, you know, I really felt better after that, because I didn't sleep, you know, at all. I work from home, Alex. You know, I got one laptop for film all day and the other that I work. And I'm doing pretty much, you know, football season, 60% football. But I would say, you know, I didn't get that good feeling, and the coaches feel the same, until they really stepped on that football and, you know, we started to mix things up. After that, you know, it's like those boys said, you know, we got each other's back, and they're looking for an epic season. It's going to be a very special. If they continue to work this way, which I have a great feeling about, it's going to be very special. Very special
now,
season.
Now, you got Mill Creek coming up. They can play some ball,
yes,
coach.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hey, man, the head ball coach over there is dialing it up. I had a chance to be on the sideline, or not the sideline, GFL, we'll get in trouble for that. We had a chance to be in the stands and watch the game. And what I came away from that game is they're balanced. That's really how I came away from that game. You know, the quarterback did his job, did what was asked of him. Obviously, everybody knows Caleb Downs is a very special player, number two. And, you know, the receivers caught the ball. I mean, and they took advantage of their opportunities. So that's kind of what we saw out there. And the defense played decently. You know, they got after the ball. You know, they left the ball. So they were getting a little bit out there. No hard hitting like that, but they were sound and they were tackling and they were making the right football plays. You know, what do you tell your team going into a game like this?
What I tell, the key, what we always focus on is discipline. Discipline. And right now, a lot of feedback I'm getting from other coaches. I'm getting phone calls all the time. They can't believe how disciplined we are, you know, so early. You know, for the last couple of years, Alex, if you watched our tape, we had one of the top defenses in Gwinnett County. And, you know, number one, you know, reason being is we're physical. We're going to hit you. You're going to have to strap it up. We're coming.
Yeah.
And another thing is, you know, we got speed across the football. And as I mentioned, you know, the first level as far as our defensive line and our linebackers, they get after it. You know, they're hungry. We don't make a lot of mistakes, you know, but we still have mistakes because it's early. Mm-hmm. So, like you mentioned, talented group over there. You know, experienced coaches. You know, Brookshire, Pat Muzz, I know those guys. Mm-hmm. They've been doing this thing for a long time. Caleb Downs, he's very good friends with my son, half of those guys. They got the mm-hmm. big twins out there on the front office and line.
Yeah, they do.
You know, Twin Towers, you know? Yeah. I know their family. But mm-hmm. What we focus on is discipline. All right, do your job. Mm-hmm. There's no I in team. Play your position. If there's a mistake, you know, short-term memory. Don't get down on yourself. Keep your head up. Motivate each other. All right? And then the last thing is like physical. You know, when we kick off, it's going to be a very physical game. And I was very impressed with Mill Creek, you know, because they had a heavyweight fight. You know, mm-hmm. Shiloh, they're 0-2 right now. Mm-hmm. But if they wasn't in the division or in, it could be easily, you know, undefeated, you know, with the luck of the draw with the schedule. But they got some studs over there as well. And the way that, mm-hmm. you know, Pat Mullins and, you know, Mill Creek draw it up, you know, mm-hmm. and they pretty much dominated the game. I was impressed by it. But we just have to play disciplined football, ram football, hard-nosed football, attack mm-hmm. the football, control the ball, you know, which, you know, we're going to come out and try to do. We got a couple wrinkles, you know. Mm-hmm. We had limited plays that we showed the world, but we're coming out, you know, a couple of new wrinkles I can't talk about right now. But discipline, sound football. You know?
Well, I'm looking forward to it, Coach. I'll tell you that. And I think, look, as of right now, you guys are headed in the right direction. It is going to be a heck of a ball game. I know it's going to be standing room only, so everybody that's listening, if you're going to this game, make sure you get there early. It's going to be Mill Creek taking on Grayson, number 8 versus number 10. And you know what, man? Probably this team might have an inside if they accept their bid. That's on them down the road if it comes their way. But they might have a chance to get in B2C. You know, who knows? Who knows? We'll see. But, Coach Manzi, thank you so much for coming on, and good luck this weekend. We look forward to seeing you out there.
Alex, I greatly appreciate you. You know, knowing you since Tucker, man, doing an outstanding job with football in the state of Georgia and just, you know, even beyond, you know, the state. And thanks for the recognition. Also, hats off to Mill Creek, everybody else in GFL, DeKalb County, other leagues. And just hopefully everybody gets through the season nice and healthy, and respect to everyone.
Absolutely, Coach. Take care.
You too.
All right, guys, that's Coach Adams. Hey, look, like he said, known him for a long time. He was at Tucker for a little while. And one thing I know, when you talk about Tucker football is always this. It's fast, it's physical and hitting. I want to separate it just for the sake of conversation. They're going to be fast, physical, and they are going to hit. I'm not talking about a regular hit. They're going to hit. It's going to be contact going all over the field. They do it at the youth level. They do it at the middle school level, which their middle school right now, Tucker Tigers, is ranked number 1. And they do it at the high school level, which right now we see them taking a couple of losses. But what everybody has to understand is that team is very, very young. When you have all those freshmen getting a lot of playing time like that, you're going to go through your growing pains. I think Coach Lamar, look, you prepare your team to win every weekend. But this is something that, you know, you just can't get around. It is what it is. And they need experience. And so I guarantee you that Tucker Tigers team, not this year, but at the end of this year, you know, not right now, I should say, but at the end of this year, you'll start to see them play better. And when they go into next year, oh boy, get ready. Because they could have a 3-year run that is going to be absolutely special for those boys. Because, again, that group, that core freshman that came in, they are just that good. And the Tucker Tigers way is just that good. So they got a good team, man. But talking about Grayson, fantastic. You take that Tucker attitude, you mix it in with the University of Grayson, is what we like to call them, and now you got some football. And they're going to get it on. So it's going to be Mill Creek taking on Grayson. I'm excited. I'm excited, man. Number 8 versus number 10, and we're going to see who wins. You know, just speaking of a couple things that happened, obviously, this past weekend, change the topics just for a little bit, that 11-and-under game with the Georgia Seminoles and DYJ, heck of a ball game. You know, that offensive line, we were hoping would stay in there and be competitive because, you know, there's certain things that we want to see out of that offensive line from the Georgia Seminoles. You got Coach Mike over there, and he's been playing very, very well. He's had that team playing very, very well. But, you know, you're looking at it as like, You want to see a little bit more. You know, when they go downhill, are they stepping together? You know, is that line stepping together? You know, are they doubling? Are they looking to the second level? You know, I would love to see some more zone blocking in there. I believe you can teach it. And I get it. Not every kid can pick up zone blocking. And I get the man-to-man and just bumping. I get all that type of stuff. But I would love to see him teach it, for the simple fact is, look, the guy played big-time college ball. He had a chance to have a little stint in the pros. I would love to see exactly what he can do when he says in his mind, I'm taking the reins off and I'm letting this team get after it. And let's see how it'll go. You know, that's what I want to see. And then on the other side of that one, you got Decatur Army Camo. We're talking about 10 and under, taking on the Atlanta Jack Boys. I think they're Gators, though. Can't quite remember, you know, what it is. But I know they are the Jack Boys, very good team. But I know they're up under the Gators banner, I should say. And the Jack Boys play some great football. You know, they hung in there against a very, very good Camo team. We call them the Wall of Camo. But what I've noticed over the past couple of years, Camo starts very slow. And they have sometimes issues scoring, you know, getting in the end zone, man. And that is so critical. They play great defense. Great parent support. Coaching staff, DJ and them, good people. You know, they try the best they can. But they're just not getting in the end zone. I don't know why. I don't know what's going on, but hopefully they can fix it. They got all the talent in the world. You know, and we'll see if they can put it together. But how about the Atlanta Jack Boys, Coach Parlay, getting that team together, and they were able to do what they needed to do to win the ball game. Hey, 13-7. I don't care if you win the thing 1-0. You know, you can't obviously do that. But 2-0, that would be a safety. Just win the ball game. Sometimes in games like that, you just got to – look, man, put the leather helmet on. Yeah, that's what we're saying, put the leather helmet on. Put the leather helmet on and go to work and get after it. And it's going to be as simple as that. And win the ball game. And that's what they did. So right now, man, when you look at the Prime B2C Prime 21 ranking, just came out today, you got Brookwood, and they just went to war. They went to literal war with Peachtree Ridge. Peachtree Ridge on 4th and 20 on their own. I want to say they were around inside their 20-yard line, 30-yard line. They didn't punt the ball. I'm not sure why. I'm not sure what the coach saw. I'm not going to sit here and point blame, but I'm just telling you what happened. After that, Brookwood ran two plays, won the ball game, a little bit of time left on the clock, and that's how that ball game ended. Brookwood Maroons survived that game, but they still hold on to their number two ranking. Stevenson survived as well. Talking about a Cedar Grove team that can absolutely get it done. Very talented. You know, Coach Jermaine, Jimmy as they call him, does a great job in the middle school level. In the high school level, but he always reaches down his middle school. Just try to get him right, you know, and get to where they need to be. They survived. Stevenson survived against Cedar Grove. Good. North Cobb, we know how good they are. We'll see if they make it in the end. But I got a team for you guys. Again, we talked about Grayson. We can talk about North Clayton. That's another one out there. But I got a sleeper for you. Cartersville. I know everybody's sitting there laughing at me and stuff. I get it. I get it. It's fine. Laugh away. Cartersville and Renaissance. Those are two teams that, honestly, if you look at it, those are two teams that might be there in the end. Cartersville won it in that championship series bad last year, and they got a squad. They just put up 49 on Whitley. And I'm talking about hung it in their closet. You hear what I'm saying? They did it to them. Then you have Renaissance, a very, very good team. They got Terrence Love on there who, you know, as of right now, will probably be considered the number one prospect in the 2023 class. You know, he hasn't been a quarterback. Played quarterback with the Ducks his whole entire time, you know, growing up. I'm not sure why he's not a quarterback now. Don't know what's going on over there. Haven't talked to the coaches. I have no idea. So I don't want to sit there and try to put out allegations out there. Not allegations, but speculations out there of what's happening. But Renaissance got a chance. And APS got them in their division. Yeah, they're doing something with Fulton County. Not sure what's going on with that. But APS and Fulton have worked something out where Renaissance is playing. And if you haven't seen Terrence Love play, he is must-see TV, guys. He can line up at quarterback and do it for you if you need to. He can line up at receiver and get it done if you need him to. And look, if you see him at safety, oh my goodness, he's a problem. I mean, he is an absolute problem at safety. But all that, man, we'll get into that another time. another person I wanted to talk to, a good friend of mine. I'll tell you what, last year we talked about his son playing travel football and all kind of stuff like that. He was going into eighth grade, and we said, you know what, GFL is a good league to play in, you know, because they got good coaching there. And if anything, you're going to see different schemes that will probably help make you a good player. And the kid's a quarterback. He ended up doing well that year and led his team the best he could. You know, they had some ups and downs, but he led the best he could. They went to FBU. They won their national championship for their tournament that they have at the end of the year. Then played in an Under Armour All-American game. Was named MVP there. Then he did the AUG 7-on-7. He was probably MVP in everybody's eyes there. I'm not done. And then the kid goes out and gets the big offer from Florida State. And now he's starting at Thomasville. And now this past week, he just picked up, and bear with me, I might be wrong. I might have all of them. Picked up South Carolina, Georgia, picked up Florida, and just picked up Miami. I think he did the right thing. And I think a lot of people should listen. And that's why I got my good friend on, Chad Maskell, Sr. We got to make sure we say that right now. What's going on, Big Chad?
I'm doing all right, Alex, man. How you doing? Yeah, you got to make sure you put that senior on there, man. I'm playing, you know, this kid taking off, man. So, hey, you know, you got to get a junior on the scene. You got to make sure you put that senior on there. I don't want nobody to mistake me for him now.
Yeah, well, you know what your name is about to become, right? You have any idea? I can tell you what your name is about to become, Chad's dad. That's your name. Yeah.
Hey, man, that's a great name. That's a great name I would love to have, man. I take on that role with all the pride. So, you know, I don't got no problem having that name.
All right, so you're coming out of seventh grade last year, and you're trying to figure out where you want to put your son. You and your family have moved down to Thomasville, and you made a sacrifice like no other and said, you know what, I'm going to put my kid in the GFL. I'm going to put him with Peachtree Ridge. What in the world made you make that decision?
Man, I think my decision came from, you know, after, you know, been coaching for a while, been around the game for a while. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought GFL, you know, their eighth grade level of football out there was the best thing for my son, you know, to continue to develop, you know, before he went into high school. You know, with the they have some great coaching out there. Mm-hmm. They do multiple schemes. Brookwood's a great program. Buford's a great program. Those guys do really well all across the GFL. And I just thought, you know, for his development and for my younger son's development too as well, I thought the GFL would be the best thing for them going into high school.
Now, did you almost have some buyer's remorse there? That first game you guys played Brookwood, the first big game, I should say, you played Brookwood. And it was tough. It was tough. They got after him a little bit, you know. What was your thoughts after that game?
Oh man, after that game, you know, I kind of was scratching my head when I got home, like, Lord have mercy. But you know, I scratched my head because, you know, he took some big hits that game.
Yeah.
You know, but I think, you know, it was a good thing for him because, mm-hmm. you know, he learned how to play, you know, against teams that, you know, may have had more talent than what he had on his team. Because we were with the Decatur Army, we was always, you know, kind of the more athletic team for everybody we played against. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when we played that first game out there against Brookwood, it was a hats off to the head coach that was out there. He did a great job with those kids for all those years. Mm-hmm. He had some great athletes, and they was very well coached.
So you go through the season, you win a couple of awards, you know, and the season's over with after the Under Armour All-American game. You had a good time out there. How did you approach your off season for your kid? And the reason I'm asking is there are people around right now that are listening. There are people around that feel they have the next quarterback, you know, that they just want to know, hey man, what did you do to put your kid in position? So, hey, look, they can hear it right now. What did you do for your kid during the off season?
First of all, you know, everybody's situation ain't the same. You know, all kids, you know, have different situations, but for me, you know, Ben played, you know, college football before and mm-hmm. kind of seen things on the next level. You know, my whole approach for everything is that, like I tell you and I tell other guys all the time, man, he going to get all his blessings in due time. So mm-hmm. let's take care of what we can do to get better. So my approach this offseason was, you know, let's just get better. Let's just mm-hmm. work on these fundamentals, let's get better. You know, we got with his quarterback coach, Andrico Hines. Andrico Hines put a lot of work into him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we got down here in Thomasville, and Coach DeLay, his quarterback coach. I think Chad has the best two quarterback coaches in the country. Mm-hmm. With him, with his personal quarterback trainer, and Andrico Hines, and mm-hmm. his quarterback coach here in Thomasville, Coach DeLay, they're awesome. Both of them are awesome. They do a great job with him. And I think they did a good job this offseason as far as pushing him, working on concentrating on the small things. And that was another thing that I wanted to concentrate on with him was the small things. Because like I tell him all the time, I say, look, son, you're not going to always be the most athletic kid on the field. So what are you going to do different than that other kid that's just as athletic as you? So I always tell them, if you do enough small things right, great things are going to happen. So like I said, this offseason, you know, we said we was going to go to work. Before we hit any of the camp scenes, we went to work. He went to work. He got better, concentrated on his fundamental small things. And, you know, when he went to camps, you know, he did well at a couple camps and was able to pick up his first two offers from Southern Miss and Florida State. Mm-hmm. And that's just the approach we took.
Now, how we look at it is all offers are the same, you know, no matter big or small, you know, and I think there's something that, you know, hopefully people can listen to it, you know, as your time goes on and, you know, their kids get offers and everything like that. All offers are very important. But Florida State, man, what was that feeling like? Because we know you guys love Florida State down there. What was that feeling like?
Oh, man, I think, you know, that the feeling was, for me, it was good because of the reaction of my son, man. You know, when he got the call from Coach Bell and we spoke to Coach Bell, you know, after Coach talked to him, for me, it was like, okay. But what really made me, you know, I guess, feel some type of way about it was when I walked in his room mm-hmm. and, you know, he was sitting on the edge of the bed. And he was crying. You know, he had shed a tear, too.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me, he said, Daddy, thank you.
Daddy.
I said, what are you thanking me for, son? He said, Daddy, I've been waiting on that offer all my life. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know what, son? I say, just thank God for your blessings. And I said, you know, dude, you keep doing what you're supposed to do, you're going to get a whole bunch more of those phone calls. And I guess that was what made it, you know, real special to me to see that, you know, the things that he's been working hard for since he was 6 years old and mm-hmm. that offer he's been waiting for, you know, he got it mm-hmm. and he was emotional about it. And, you know, I guess that's what was the biggest thing for me.
Man, I know that meant a lot to you as a father to see your kid, his joy. And that's what we all live for as fathers, right? You want to make sure your son's in a good position and just their joy. And that really means a lot to a father. This past weekend, you had a good one. Big time rivalry. Thomas County Central, Thomasville, the whole city is packed in front of what I'm hearing. Now, I don't know how much truth is to this. They are saying close to 12,000 people were at that game. I don't know how y'all put that in that little stadium. They are saying 12,000 people were at that game. And they said, from what I'm hearing, from a very reliable source, got his big-time recruiter, said the ground was literally shaking at kickoff. Is that true?
Very true. Very true. He said, you know, lie. He told you what God loved, and that's true.
Man.
This Friday, wow. Man, past Friday was awesome. And you know what, man? The week before that, man, we played Cairo. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't the same atmosphere, but it was a very hostile atmosphere, man. You know, but yeah, this past Friday, man, it was, I think Coach said it was over 12,000 people there.
Wow.
I mean, yeah, he played really well, man. I mean, I was happy that he was able to control his emotions of the game. You know, he didn't let the game and the lights get too bright for him. I think he stayed within himself. Mm-hmm. He played, you know, the coaches did a great job. I can't say enough about these coaches, man, Coach Graves and Coach DeLay and Coach Rayburn, the offensive coordinator. They put together a great game plan. Mm-hmm. I mean, he did enough. He does enough for what they ask him to do. We have a great running back in Tan Jelen, a senior running back, mm-hmm. and he controls the ground. And he allowed Chad, you know, these past couple weeks to he just played within himself.
So it's a big game, packed house, and your son, you know, he played solid the first week. He was very productive, got some on the field. And then this next game comes. And as a parent, you're sitting in the stands looking at this, and you see your son about to take the field. Hey, what is going through your head? Like, we know he's calm and cool, but what is going through your head?
I'm going to be honest. Hey, you want to know something? This is something funny. Me and my wife, all week long, was like, man, I hope the kid play good. My wife's nervous. He's shaking.
Yeah.
The whole while, he telling his mama, man, I'm all right. He told his mama that four times. Mm-hmm. Then before the game started, you know, we tailgating, you know, we walking up and they walking down the field. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, let's go, boy. He ain't even look at me. Put his headphones on, didn't look at me.
Yeah.
Ready to rock and roll. I'm like, you know what? Nah, I'm going to leave him alone. Don't do your thing, kid.
Yeah, he's going to be all right.
He's going to be all right. And that, you know, before the game even started, when I seen how locked in he was, how focused he was, I was like, he's going to be all right. I ain't worried about nothing.
So you have a big time game. Everything goes well, and all of a sudden this week hits. And I'm talking about this, it dropped, for those that, you know, are into music, it dropped like one of those DJ Drama mixtapes back in the day. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Everybody know what I'm talking about with that one. Yeah, with that DJ Drama, that Gangsta Grill. Yeah, it dropped like one of them. And all of a sudden, he getting offers left from big time SEC schools. Wow, man. Wow, what's going through your head as a parent? How's he feeling as, you know, as Chad Jr.? I mean, like, what's going on in the household?
Man, you know what? I was glad he got his offers for what he's done on the field.
Yeah.
You know, that was big for me. Like, I'm not big on, you know, on guys giving kids offers or my child an offer of what they think he's going to be later on down the line. I mean, of course, that is the thing. They're going to always say, okay, well, he can be this good later on down the line. But I wanted him to get his offers off of what he did, his work, his body of work, the things that he did on the field, in a varsity game, with varsity talented kids. That's why I was so happy that, you know, those guys, you know, because this summer, you know, he went to a couple camps and they was like, well, let's just see what he does, you know, in the game situation.
Yeah.
You know, Florida State and Southern Miss, they pulled the trigger from the camp, but, you know, those other the guys who pulled the trigger this week, they just wanted to see what he did in the game situation. And, you know, the fact that, you know, he did very, very well, and now those guys are pulling the trigger, you know, that was gratifying for me, you know, for him to get his offers from what he's done, not because of somebody called and said, hey, you need to offer this kid right now, but because of what he did on the field. You know,
absolutely.
That was big for me.
Absolutely. So is there anything else? Like I said, there's parents that listen. Man, everybody wants their kid to do well, whether it's quarterback or whatever position it might be. What advice do you want to give them? You know, because you're kind of going through it right now. You got a kid that's pretty high profile. But what advice would you give parents that are trying to get their kid to, you know, where your kid's at right now?
Well, you know, let's just speak from the quarterback standpoint. You know, I think the parents, you know, find you a good quarterback trainer. There's some great quarterback trainers all across the country in Atlanta. There, where you guys is, you got Andrico Hines. You know, you got Quincy. You got Tony Valley. You got the other guy that had Trevor Lawrence and
come on, Ronville.
Yeah, Ronville. You got some awesome quarterback trainers up there. I would advise you to get with one of them and put in the work. You got to put in the work when ain't nobody's in the stands. Put in the work when there's nobody around, you know, and just put in the work by yourself. You don't always have to pull the camera out and show what you're doing. You don't always have to do that, you know. Go to work. Just go to work. Keep going to work. Keep going to work. Keep going to work. And then when it's time for the kid to perform, man, you know, they'll be able to perform, and they'll have the fundamentals that they need, you know, to go to the next level. And, you know, just, you know, everything. And a big thing for me to tell the parents is all exposure is not good exposure. All exposure is not good exposure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's just, you know, as a parent, you got to decide what's good for your child and what's not good for your child. But all exposure is not good exposure. Just make sure whatever you're doing, it has substance in what they're doing, and make sure it means something. Like, you know, with the guys, you know, FBU is great. I think Eric Richards and his crew does a great job with FBU. The showcase camps and stuff that y'all, the Watson, has been doing, I think that's great. I think they do a great job of getting kids good exposure. Gen Next was a good event this past year that we went to. Like I said, just make sure you doing what's going to benefit your child at the end of the day. You know, a lot of these things guys do, it's not beneficial to the overall picture for what you're trying to get done with your child. So just make sure you're selective of what you do. You don't have to do everything. Like I said, all exposure is not good exposure. It is a such thing as bad exposure. So just make sure, you know, you do what you're supposed to do when nobody's around. So when you do get around people, you know, all that was so.
Hey, guys, I can't say it no better myself. This is a guy that's going through the process right now with his kid. And, hey, look, if you don't agree with him, then I'll tell you what. Just look at the results. And then we'll go from there. You know, as my friend says, hello.
Hello.
Just look at the results. When you look at the results, you can't argue results. Don't care who you are, can't argue results. And we're very happy for Chad, man. Hey, Chad's dad.
I'll be that. Make sure you say Chad and Bo's dad.
There you go, Chad and Bo's dad. That's right. For those Chad that don't know, he has a younger son, Bo, that can absolutely get it at DB. And listen, I always tell people who the next top player is going to be. Listen to me and mark my words. You're looking for the next AJ Terrell. He's at Clemson right now. He plays good football. That is him. I guarantee it to you. Put the money on it. Play the numbers. If I told you the numbers, this kid here will be the real deal. Right now, Bo, fantastic DB. Once he hit his growth spurt, you're going to be all over him. I guarantee you guys, you will be all over him. Once his 10th grade year comes, don't run up on him. Say, oh, I knew you were going to be this, knew you were going to be that. No, get in line. Get in line. Because I'm trying to tell you, man, the kid's going to be big time. But, hey, Chad, appreciate having you on. Thank you so much for sharing your insight, man, being open, honest, and real, man, trying to help these parents out.
Hey, another thing, man, before we go, man. Hey, Alex, you know, from the Masco family, man, we want to thank you and Born to Compete and your company for the things you do for the kids.
Thank
you know, for not having a child in the game for a while, mm-hmm. and things you've done for the city of Atlanta. I think all the coaches and the parents in Atlanta should, you know, say thank you for the things you've done. You know, and I just want to say thank you for my family, to the things you've done to help my kids from the time we moved to Atlanta up until now. So, thank you, man.
Hey, man, not a problem at all, man. Thanks so much for coming on, Chad. So that's my guy right there, Chad. Hey, good guy, man. And, you know, a plan was mapped out for his kids by his parents. They put in the work. Little Chad Jr. put in the work. They did what they felt was right for their kids. And, again, their methods and what they did might not be for you. Who knows? But what I can say is you got a proven track record to follow. And if you're trying to get your kid out there, and the big thing is exposure these days, right? I told everybody, exposure is a lie in youth sports. It really doesn't exist. It doesn't. Celebration exists. Get exposure out of your mind. That word does not exist. Celebration exists. You know what exposure exists for? Exposure exists for the quarterback that's already almost 6 foot, that's an eighth grader. Exposure exists for the kid that's a 6'2", 280 kid, as an eighth grader. 6 foot as an eighth grader. Trevor Lawrence, 6'2". Harrison Bailey, 6'2". Eighth graders. This is truth, guys. Right now, what we always tell everybody, enjoy the process. If your kid loves going to practice, if your kid is excited about you taking them to the game on Friday night, if your kid can't wait till game day, he's on the right track. Take your pictures. Put them on Instagram. Put them on Facebook. Celebrate your kid. Why not? Have a good time. Make outlandish comments if you want to. He's the best in the country. Who cares? Enjoy all that stuff. play teams from all over the country if you want to. Get after it. But understand, the word exposure doesn't exist. Something has to be special about you. You're running a 4.4. The Barry boys are running 4.5s in eighth grade. 4.5. Legit. Eighth grade. Ain't too many eighth graders running 4.5s at that time. Trevor Lawrence and Harrison Bailey can almost throw that ball 60 yards in the air. Flat foot. Eighth grade. Aaron McLaughlin was 6'215. Eighth grade. Quarterback. Now he's at Buford doing his thing. But all these people I've mentioned to you, put in the work. And I'm talking about regular work. Put in the work. I remember when Chad hung out with me one time. He said, Alex, I want to get some work in. I said, I never played quarterback in college. I played receiver. I know what they do, but I never played quarterback in college, so I'm not going to say and lie to you. But we put in the work anyway. You see what I'm saying? Special players always put in the work. And guess what? Their parents or their support staff, because we know everybody has different situations, are going to be right there. Right there helping them out the whole entire way. And like he says, all good exposure, not good, or all exposure, not good exposure. He's right. Promises being made. Oh, this college coach is going to see you. Oh, this college is going to see you. No, they're not. No, they're not. Talk about playing on Saturdays. You're playing youth football on Saturdays. They're playing college football on Saturdays. Who coming to see you? And I guarantee you, those recruiting companies, they're not at a youth game. I'm just trying to tell you, they got jobs to keep. I'm gonna give you some great advice here. What I was told. We took kids on a college trip a couple years ago, big time university, and the coach was asking me about a quarterback that was going to be a rising senior at the time. Asked me that I know him the whole nine. You know, of course we did. And I tried to divert his attention to an eighth grader that we had. And the eighth grader ended up becoming the number one player in the country. And I'm not calling it to say it was a mistake by the coach, because it wasn't. But you know what that coach told me? He said, Alex, we can offer that kid. That's cool. We'll do that. He said, but we're hardly going to recruit him. Understand what I'm saying by that. We can offer him, but we're hardly going to recruit him. Here's why. He has to worry about his job for the next 2 years. He could be gone. He has to recruit this senior class, the junior class, maybe start working on the sophomore class. Freshman, eh. Eighth grader, eh. Really? I need a job. Got to keep my job. I got a family to feed. So those are some things that I would love for you guys to look at when it comes to when we talk about exposure. And I was about to say, Alex, oh, there you go again on your soapbox. I've been around the game for 11 years. We've had some of the top players that we recognize as early as in the sixth grade. Isn't that crazy? Recognize Harrison Bailey, 8 years old. Derek Cooper, 8 years old. We can go on and on and on. I think we know what we're doing. I think we got it down pat now. So those are just things that, you know, we want to talk about. But it's going to be a great season, man. This is just a start off to what we consider one of the best seasons out there. The championship series is going to be insane. Everything that comes with it is going to be insane. Just got a couple of phone calls. Matter of fact, got a call right now coming through. I know you probably heard the phone ringing in the background. Big news. Big news. Make sure you're around. So before we get out of here, guys, we got to make sure we recognize some kids out there. Of course, we got our awards, and it's something new we got coming this year. We like to call it B5B. And you say, what is B5B? I know you wonder. I know you're asking. Like, hey, man, what are you talking about right now? So B5B, when I was in college, I played in the slot, played receiver. I had a good time, enjoyed myself. But the O-line called themselves B5B. That was their own fraternity. That was their own thing. That's what they did. I tried to get in it. I tried to hang out with B5B. I got up early in the mornings, got the workouts in, but I couldn't lift what they could lift. I couldn't do what they could do. And they did not make me an honorary member of B5B. If you want to know what B5B means, it means big, five big. If you're a lineman, then you understand that. They told me I had to be about 280 to get in that thing. Finally got 200. They still tell me no. It's all good. But either way, we are recognizing the lineman of the week. And really, it's the O-line of the week, because we all know, hey, look, when you're linemen, y'all are a unit. You're together. If one man lets somebody through, then you all let somebody through. Because they don't y'all individual names. You know what they say? Hey, line, somebody needs the block. That's what they say. Oh, line, what you doing? So we like to recognize the boys together. And this first week, we had to recognize a great group. You got two kids on there that are possibly going to be up for B2C lineman of the year. It's very possible. They're big, big kids, 5'7", 5'5", 10-year-olds. One's 180, I think. The other one's 170. My goodness. Big old boys. But that is Parkview Panthers. Great job by them. Look, I watched the highlights of the games. The running back literally isn't getting touched. Like, I don't even know if anybody recognizes that. I'm watching the highlights there, looking at the games. Running back is not getting touched. I don't know how long that'll last, but he isn't getting touched. I've never seen nothing like that in my life. All credit goes to their offensive line. They deserve it. Offensive lineman of the week. Player of the week, Caleb Downs. Fantastic player from Mill Creek, 8th grade team. Look, he's won player of the year before. We've had him down the station at 11 Alive. You know what he can do. You know, big-time player. Play running back. He can lineback receiver if they really, really wanted him to. He can get the job done. That's really what it is. He can get it done. Play linebacker, had an interception. Gets the job done. Won a couple of GFL championships. Played in Born to Compete All-American game. I remember when people came out to see him, they were like, is he going to be that good? Is he really all that talk? Is he worth it? At the end of the game, people were trying to put him on the team. Tell you that much. The kid's the real deal. Defensive player of the week, Coach Parlay, Atlanta Jack Boys, Deion Braxton. Had a fantastic game. Sitting here looking at his picture right now. They got the little pose, muscle man pose, you know, flexing, as we do. You say, by the B2C flex always there. You got to flex on him when you're balling, man. If you're in the ball, you can't flex on nobody. You can't. You can't. That's like you're going to get one day, get a lady in your life. She's going to look good. You're going to go out, dinner, have a good time, show off the kids, all that kind of stuff. Flexing on people. That's it. When you make a big play, get up. You saw Jaden Hazelwood do it on ESPN this past weekend. Flex on him. It just is what it is. It's life. When you're balling, you do things like that. Not so much. If you're not one, not so much. Nothing bad. It is what it is. Flex ain't for everybody. It's the ballers, though. Or for those headed that way. We'll see. So anyway, wanted to make sure we give those awards out, man, and recognize those kids. They've done a great job. And if I had to name a team of the week, it'll probably be the Atlanta Jack Boys or North Henry. You know what? I'd probably say North Henry. All the attention they've been getting, man, people consider them number one team in the state, number one team in the country. If that's the case, and they still came through with a big-time win against Welcome All, 20-7 against Welcome All, that's a good team there. That's a good ball club they beat. Then hats off to them. So, again, guys, that is our time for this week. Listen in next week. We got some good guests coming on. It's going to be a good one. Take care, guys. We're out.
No!
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 And that's a done one
deal! Yeah!